Hello, everyone. Are we live? Are we live? I believe I am live. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Yeah, the stream was bizarre, but I think that if you refresh your page, you should be seeing me now. How are you doing? To this morning, the big news was that Russell Brand has been suspended of monetization on YouTube. That is on the least basis I have ever seen a monetization suspension. I mean, when YouTube were making these decisions back in the days, it was based on content, and it was always hard to find what is the content that made me offend. And in my case, I got demonetized at some point because Mama JF had a channel, and she was sharing her opinions on there. And the reason for my demonetization was you are associated with someone who has made statements against the rules. So at this point, you cannot be associated with a woman who happens to disagree with immigration. YouTube has become such a hellhole. I'm so happy to be out. But now, on the mere basis of allegations, YouTube suspends Russell Brand from making money off the streaming site after sex assault claims. This is insane. YouTube is demonetizing all of Brand's accounts based on unproven allegations made in the media. He hasn't even been criminally charged with anything. The precedent being set here is extremely bad. Understand what YouTube has just done. They have given the left a blueprint for demonetizing someone. Simply accuse them of sexual assault. Doesn't matter if it's proven or not. They've opened the floodgates intentionally so. Exactly. It's what you're going to have. You're going to have a system of incentivized liar. And now the woman who get into these groups of 3-4 and they go all after you at the same time in the media. Now suddenly you have these women, they have much more power. They know that YouTube will be banned if it's for women, just like Russell Brand. If we can reproduce the same thing, then we get a demonetization on our enemy. But even worse, the media. The media can easily find 4 women in your past that will claim you raped them. I mean, it's the media can find probably 4 women that could say anything, potentially. But it's pretty easy to find 4 pissed off women when you target someone. You choose the guy, you have documentation of his past, you go back to these women, there's going to be 4 of them. If you're somewhat of a celebrity, if you're somewhat big, you don't even have to be as big as Russell Brand. If you're big like Papa JF, you're going to find easily 4 women who will claim that I raped them. I raped none of them, of course. But that means you cannot be monetized on YouTube and be a man. It's simple as this. If somehow you don't go with the leftist discourse that all that the series of exes that you've had all of your life, if all of them aren't agreeing with your current political discourse, you're done. So building a career on YouTube is completely crazy at this point. Harmless G sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, do you plan on checking out the new Elon Musk biography by Walter Isaacson? I'm not sure I'm super interested. I'm not sure it's going to give me insight into the true Elon Musk. I'm on the fence. If it's a popular book that I should make a show about, maybe I will make a show about it. But I can't say that I'm drawn to biographies of this kind. To me, it seems that Elon Musk has been hand-in-hand with Walter Isaacson. He's been giving him a lot of interviews. I don't know if it's an authorized biography or if it's just that Elon Musk consented to interviews. But very often, these guys who are too close from the person, they can only make a narrative that is too shiny. And authorized biographies, they converge toward this kind of adoration of the person and a presentation that is not truly human. If you tell me that Walter Isaacson has written a biography that that is poignant and on the fence, and it shows the bad and the ugly and the good, then I'd be willing to read it. That would be much more interesting to me, but I'm not sure. I'll have to check what is said about it. Russell Brand demonetized after sexual assault claims based on allegations from 2006 and 2013. And the reason they gave is creator responsibility. How do you have a creator responsibility dating back to non-existent rapes of 2006? Creator responsibility. You have to, I mean, if someone comes out of jail and they've committed a rape, someone could easily come out of jail and have committed a rape that's more recent than this. Someone could have committed a rape in 2015 and already be out of jail. They've been found guilty. They've made their jail time. Now, can they be a YouTuber? Is YouTube discriminating against criminals? No, it isn't. As far as I know, OJ can be a YouTuber, OJ Simpson, whoever you want. There will be YouTubers. But now you have an existing YouTuber and the things come out in the media, and suddenly that's a justification. But they wouldn't demonetize the rapist who's been found guilty of rape. It's not salient enough. The justice system has handled his case. We don't have to give further punishment. So basically, by its double attitude here with regular criminals who are accepted on YouTube and people like Russell Brand who are not accepted for monetization on YouTube, YouTube is giving a signal that it has become a secondary punishment arm of justice, basically. They consider themselves playing an alternate route of justice for the justice that they're not able to get in court. But that is basically trying to occupy the role of the court. That is creating a parallel private justice system for those things that cannot quite reach the threshold of the criminal justice system. But we don't want this in society at all. We want a society where if you can't reach the threshold, you are okay. You are innocent until proven guilty. Elijah Schaefer makes a good illustration here. I am calling upon YouTube to shut down Cardi B's monetization ASAP. She admits to committing date rape / robbery. Please be consistent with your policies. I did what I had to do to survive, an admission by Cardi B in 2019. Cardi B confirms she drugged and robbed men during her stripper days after old video resurfaces. What happens if Papa JF drugs and robs a woman? What happens if I date rape woman? I can't be monetized on YouTube. Russell Brand. In fact, if there's even a woman that just says I drug raped her, that's enough for me to lose my monetization. Well, Cardi B. Will Cardi B lose her monetization? Will she lose her channel? She's been date raping as a stripper, admitted it herself, so there's no doubt around it. When do we get Cardi B demonetized? Never. T.S. Apostolos says, YouTube should have a forum for you to face your accuser. Livestream in person, Sixth Amendment. Yeah, I mean, if they're going to be parallel justice, they might as well. But the goal would be that they're not parallel justice. The ideal would be that there is not this option for low-grade allegations to make it into the stream of punishment of society, but without the proper review of a jury. And even the juries, they're becoming crap, but at least let's give the crap juries to someone, at least. Ariel Suarez says, Jeff, you don't tend to get away with things easily. Let's not. Let's not what? Let's not date rape a girl? It wasn't in my plans anyway. Howard Stern, what? This is so sad with Jewish artists and Jewish intellectuals. It happens to almost all of them. They get hold, and you can see their true nature come out when they get old. They lose their edgy aspects, they lose their opened aspects from their youth, and they become extremely partisan. And this is what happened with Howard Stern. Howard Stern rips Representative Lauren Boebert as disgrace to this country after Beetlejuice groped that debacle. We're talking about Lauren Boebert having her boobs touched by a man she was dating in a theater with lights off and touching the leg of that man, allegedly maybe stroking his penis along the way. And the fact that you have an Howard Stern who made a career out of being out of making these stunts, and you know, let's remind ourselves, Howard Stern made a spectacle out of someone shitting in the Stanley Cup, an event which has been totally offensive to Canadians like me. We like hockey, we respect the Stanley Cup. Howard Stern made a spectacle out of getting the cup and having someone take a shit in it. This is the man who's appealing to, who's saying now this about Lauren Boebert, who is merely engaging in normal heterosexual behavior.
Lauren Boebert is a disgrace to this country, not because of the...
What about the people who shit in Stanley Cups, Howard Stern?
The video, you are 100% right. Forget the politics. She's in a dress. If you saw the video, she's in a dress. She's with some dude. Looks like she's, you know, obviously vaping, but also looks like she might be.
So Howard Stern takes issue with vaping. The the guy who was part of the original stunt radio, edgy radio of some sort, although it wasn't like right-wing edgy, but it was an edgy of its own kind, in the liberal rock star type of kind. This guy takes issue with vaping.
Be grabbing his penis during Beetlejuice.
So she grabbed his penis. So what? What's the problem, Howard? Is the problem that it's an hetero move? I mean, and at this point, people yesterday were saying on social media, I hope they go hard on Lauren Boebert. They might inadvertently make it illegal for the Pride Parade to go on. Because if you're offended by a potential stroke of a penis, Howard, you have to go to the Gay Pride Parade. You're going to see plenty of it. You're going to see them do it in front of the kids, light up, was it the penis or was it his leg? No, you're going to see much worse than this at the Gay Pride Parade. When is it that we hear Howard Stern go after the Gay Pride Parade? I'll be waiting. SBF's father. This is such an unhealthy family. I mean, this is the first world problems of the rich and the celebrities. SBF's father, who is a professor at some university, who built Sam Bankman-Fried, only for Sam Bankman-Fried to eventually scam the whole crypto world. SBF's father was expecting a generous salary from his own son. And when he found out that he wasn't getting paid as much as he wanted, now, he was getting paid $200,000 for a secondary job, which is not even your main job. You're getting paid $200,000, and he goes to complain to his son that it's not enough. And his conclusion is, I'm going to tell your mother. In what kind of family is the mother a last resort? I know what the answer is to my question. In a Jewish family, that's what it is. Only in a Jewish family will you have a father who's disappointed by the arrangement with his son and who thinks that going to the female member of the household is the remedy. It's like, I'm going to tell your mother. That it sounds so like brother-brother type of speech, like very young brothers. What the fuck is happening with this old man? SBF's father was unhappy with his salary at FTX US, so he emailed SBF asking for more money. And then he pulled the I'm telling your mother dad move and looped SBF's mom into the email thread. On January 12, 2022, despite Bankman's employment agreement with FTX US detailing a $200,000 annual salary. So you have a written arrangement of $200,000. But you expect more. You expect more under the table. You expect that somehow your son is going to send money your way that will not be accounted for in the paper. Why do you think in the end the bitcoins have disappeared? Why do you think that this exchange wasn't working? Because of greedy people like this guy. SBF's own father was draining people's money and expecting this whole thing to be showering money over his head. So he's not happy with his written salary of $200,000. Bankman complained to FTX US head of administration that he was receiving gross pay of only $16,667, number of the devil, just in case, per month from FTX US when he was supposed to be getting $1 million per year starting in September. So that would be a bit more than $80,000 a month. Gross. Bankman promptly brought his discontent to Bankman-Fried's attention, emailing his son, "Gee, Sam, I don't know what to say here. This is the first I have heard of the $200K a year salary." Well, it's your written arrangement, so who's signing your written arrangements? It's the first time you heard about your written salary? If money is so unimportant to you that you have the time for months to be paid less than you expected and not notice it, you don't need that money. I'm sorry, you don't need that money, Sir SBF. This is the first I've heard about the $200K a year salary. I'm putting Barbara on this. In other words, Bankman lobbied his son to massively increase his own salary. I'm keeping this one in memory. I'm putting Barbara on this. Another coverage of the same story. FTX sues Bankman-Fried's law professor parents to recover fraudulently transferred and misappropriated funds. Of course, although he's complaining, he was complaining about his official salary in the U.S. there, the salary that the U.S. federal government would collect massive taxes on. The reality is hundreds of millions of dollars have been circulated by SBF to his family in the form of real estate properties in the Bahamas. And so it's great to see that now FTX, which is managed by a kind of bankruptcy manager, is gonna go at them and grab the money back. Hopefully they do. Now, will they do this to the Democrat Party? That's the question. Digital Second Amendment unveiled. Anti-woke AI bot equips users with newest weapons of digital age. Earlier this year, Microsoft-backed OpenAI ChatGPT gained significant popularity, even though JP Morgan suggests the AI bubble may have leveled off recently. The momentum in AI chatbot development continues. The danger of training AI to be woke, in other words, lie, is deadly, Elon Musk posted on X. Musk likely kicked off the counter-bot, anti-woke bot movement, the first of its kind, GatGPT. Free of safety filters and woke guardrails, has been released by Defense Distributed, the company that pioneered the first 3D printed firearm over a decade ago. GatGPT leverages a pre-trained large language model fine-tuned on both general instruct datasets and expert domain-specific firearm datasets. Defense Distributed created a subset of the GPT for OpenOrca dataset that is free of political and ethical contamination. Okay, I like that it's happening. I don't know if I need conversations with AI. I don't know if I'm warm at the idea. I think it was fun playing with the AI as it was, as it was our first attempts at communications with it. But long term, I don't think these things deliver much services. That's the truth. I see sometimes people use this as part of their work, and I find this so sad. You know, creators, creatives who will have a text be written in AI instead of doing it themselves. Coders using a suggestion by OpenAI for a script. I think you lose so much of the... To me, the engagement with work and with creation is a process. I know it will sound like I'm a liberal saying this, but... It's truly a bilateral process of perpetual learning. I sound like a hippie, but that's what it is. You know, you try and you don't get it, and then you understand some things from your error, and then you redo it and you redo it. To me, if you want to be productive at anything in life, you need to put yourself in the situation to make errors. If you're not in that situation, you're not learning. You're not progressing, and then you're just a robot. But yeah, the Estonian says, I use it for programming. It saves me a lot of time. People say that. I don't want to save the time. I want to create art. I want to learn from the errors of my art. I want to be in this. I don't care if it takes me 8 more hours generating the script you did. And I do it myself, because in that 8 hours, my brain has gotten better. And you're still going to be dependent on OpenAI next time. Next time, I know exactly what's the kind of error that humans do on that script, and I want to understand that error. What's happening is we are getting farmed for dependence here. Be very careful with this. I warned people, even with GPS, you are farming a dependence that is slowly taking away the parts of your brain that do spatial reasoning. Here's the problem. Spatial reasoning is then your capacity to intelligent contributions in pretty much any scientific field. So we're farming away the parts of our brain that could have made us great scientists, great thinkers. So you never know. When you confide, when you trust the AI, you never know what you're doing to yourself, and that's very dangerous. The Estonian says, I am learning the errors of in prompting AI. Well, exactly. So see, you're fundamentally developing a social interface to your work. And you know who does that? Woman. You're becoming a woman. You know, let's be clear here. I don't want to be judgmental or anything, but if you go into a big tech business and you do a little survey of the woman and what they do, they either do nothing or they manage some other human beings through social interfaces. But that's what you're getting trained to do. You're becoming a woman. Now, in 20 years from now, the difference between someone like you and someone who takes the means to do it themselves is the guy who's taken all the means to do it himself, he knows the solution. He knows all of the solutions, all of the problems he could be faced with, whereas you don't. You just depend on whether OpenAI will still be there and will still care about your field of specialty to tell you the answers. The Estonian says, I'm using ChatGPT also to hit chicks up on Tinder, and it kind of works, to be honest. Well, see that... Given the current state of the dating market, that's a use of ChatGPT I approve. Because, okay, becoming a pickup artist and everything, it kind of sucks, and it's way too much work, way too much cognitive work. And the relationship with the female part of the species being so limited in terms of the amount of complexity, it's really only cognitive load, really that... That's what it is. I don't think I learn much from a first date or from internet conversations with women. And so that's a use I would probably back. because there's nothing to be learned. You just want the thing to be handled. And anyways, with the current market, you're going to need to approach 100 women. So might as well reduce that cognitive load and dump it to the AI. Big Tech Exodus says people were already doing this less efficiently with web search and Stack Exchange. Yeah. I mean, I learned programming just Googling really stuff. And it's like when I learn a new programming language, it's one Google per line. All right, Google, how do I transpose an array in MATLAB? How do I make an if test in MATLAB? How do I make a for loop in MATLAB? That is just what it is. Yes, I think that's still fine because you're still the gatekeeper of what you do. But when you give up the whole formulation of a script to ChatGPT, I'm afraid you're losing contact with your own creation. Ryan Dawson says, I hate what is happening to Russell Brand. I hate the demonetization on platforms. Just remember that many of us lost thousands of videos and entire channels of ADLTube without a reason even being given. USA cannot talk about free speech or freedom. It's a cartel mafia. Absolutely well said by Ryan Dawson. Here, let us repost on X. Absolutely correct analysis. Oh, that is a funny meme. That is a funny meme that's been circulating for a couple of days. No, I can't tell you why the hallway chirps, but I can measure it. I can predict the next and following chirp. I have a very good understanding of it, and that's good enough for me. I'm not distracted by the philosophical side of why the hallway chirps. Oh my God. That was written by someone who's very much aware of the kind of neo-atheist position on the Big Bang and how, you know, because ultimately it boils down to a philosophical question that has constituted a bump for people like Lawrence Krauss, where philosophers, and I actually talk about this issue in The Revolutionary Phenotype, where philosophers would be like, well, what's the universe embedded in? Or what was there before the Big Bang? You know, that kind of question. And the Lawrence Krausses of this world have been less than helpful on this question. And they've been, in fact, unjustifiably resisting to even give an answer. And they kind of gave that answer, which is, I can't tell you why the universe exists, but I can measure it. I can predict the next event in the universe. I have a very good understanding of the universe, and that's good enough for me. I'm not distracted by why the universe exists. And, you know, you have to admit that if you don't have an answer about the structure in which the universe stems, then you have an aspect of science that is unaddressed. You, as I say in The Revolutionary Phenotype, you don't have a theory of everything. You have a theory of everything else but this. And a theory of everything else is a theory that leaves a question unaddressed or unopened or unanswered. People are mocking this old Richard Spencer tweet, but I don't know if it's me being a friend with Richard and having respect for him, but I think that if you're going to tell me that this is a tweet that deserves mocking, well, credits to Richard Spencer, because I think it was an important tweet. Uber Soy, who is always trying to mock people on the right, he always has this Jewish kind of aggressive position on kind of trying to subvert and, haha, see, there's a problem there, haha. But I don't see the problem with this tweet. Richard Spencer had said, homosexuality seems to be a kind of last stand of implicit white identity. That is a very interesting theory. It's an important theory. I'm not sure it's still true today, but I totally get what that meant in its context. what was it, 2013 that he tweeted that? Wow. That's been a long time ago. That's 10 years ago that he tweeted that. Wow. In a time where white identity was very frowned upon, basically didn't exist. Basically didn't exist, at least as a political position, you know, you could say something like, hey, why is that not being done? Why is this law not protecting white people? But it hadn't formed as a full identity to the point of saying, okay, there's a group and they're the white identitarians and they exist. now, of course, you had precedents. I'm thinking about... you know, groups of white nationalists having existed for decades. There were precedents, but it wasn't in and it wasn't fashionable. And you had a hate of racial purity. You had a kind of mood of multiracialism and multiculturalism. And it is true that in that world, the gays were still caring about their looks. They were still caring about racial purity. I had the impression that the gays were more eugenic in a way, and of course in a totally unfit way evolutionarily, because you can do all the eugenics you want if you it's for ending up coming into his ass. It's not going to make a baby. So, but I had the impression that within the dynamic of homosexual dating, there was this care for looks, this care for building muscles, this care for a form of eugenic that was basically abandoned or slightly going away into the white heterosexual dating world. I believe that's what Richard Spencer is alluding to, although I'm not sure. And it's also that white identity was so frowned upon, so non-existent, that to attribute it to the gays as being the last end of it was kind of also a testimony to its to the solidity of the idea and to the fact that this idea was a non-idea in 2013. A crazy cat gentleman says, what is eugenics to the farmer is dysgenic for the livestock. I guess that's a truth. I had never thought of it that way. Justin, more charges against crypto and DeFi exchanges are coming, according to the SEC. I'm not super excited at the idea. You guys have the SEC, they've been failing. They've been failing again and again. It's been underwhelming what they succeeded at doing in the courts, and all they really succeeded at doing is, you know, just punk single cryptos so that they are basically bullied. They've bullied a bunch of randomly selected cryptos. That's what's happening with the SEC. And even at that, they haven't been fully successful, you know, and I'm so sad that basically the big loser of this whole SEC random shot in the dark is Odyssey and Library. It's so sad because why? Oh, well, we know why. It's because precisely for the same reasons connected to the censorship of Russell Brand. It's because YouTube has power. They don't like... They want to have the power to cancel you. They want to have a kind of... They want to be the tunnel of the old schemes of power where the media can decide whether you make money. And ultimately, the media can farm testimonies by random girls from your past. And with that, they can cut the whole channel of money from you so that you don't exist economically anymore. And part of this is not having a viable alternative to YouTube. Part of what keeps YouTube alive still as of today, despite their complete destruction of creator liberty, is the fact that it's hard to develop a channel elsewhere than YouTube. But that can only go on for so long. Eventually, bandwidth will be so available that you're going to be able to have your own YouTube on your own hard drive. And there's going to be no obstacles to live streaming, to infinite storing of video. The more technology evolves, the more YouTube will be looked at as the dinosaur and the Netflix that they truly want to be. Patrick Casey says, a hell of a tweet. Let's see. Tim Wise says, the most Ben Shapiro thing ever is moving his company to Nashville because Tennessee has great values and culture, and then personally moving to Florida because Tennessee doesn't have enough Jews. Oh, too Jesus-y for you? Yeah, some of us have said that for decades. That's the problem. I cannot believe this entitlement that comes out of this tweet. Entitlement in the following way. These people like Tim Wise and Ben Shapiro, to a certain extent, they acknowledge that right-wing values are pleasant to live around. But Tim Wise here is annoyed that the only thing that can preserve true right-wing values in America is high concentrations of white Christians, basically. That is the only thing. Because the Jews, they are in revolution against their own religion. You know, they have the Jewish orthodoxy that exists, but it's keeping too small of a nuclei, and they have too much of a revolt, of a revolutionary spirit, as E. Michael Jones terms it. So they are revolted against their own traditions. They go out there in the world. They remain ethnocentric around themselves. But other than this, they are incapable of passing on the ingredients for high breeding rates that come from their religion because they're too revolted against their own religion. So what do you end up with? You end up with a religious Jewish community that's leaking a lot of Jewish liberals within society. And they are unable of forming a massive amount of... They are unable to reach the point where they would populate a whole state or a whole section of the U.S. enough that they could have power and they could matter to democracy and therefore keep a government that's headed in the right-wing direction. So for all these reasons I just listed, the only way you can find a right-wing area still of the U.S. is if there's enough white Christians. It's quite simple. If there's not that much white Christians and it's right-wing, it's about to not be right-wing anymore, just like Texas. That's the case of Texas. Okay, seemingly right-wing, still has better income tax policies than California, but it's a matter of time because there's just not enough white people there. It's a matter of time before the state gets converted into a South American socialist nation. But where I take issue with this kind of analysis by Tim Wise, why don't you accept Jesus in your heart, motherfucker? Why don't you accept, and I'm not saying here convert to Christianity, accept that the people who believe in Jesus are your saviors. Accept that they have something right about them to create societies that you want to live in. Stop being a hypocrite and endorse that aspect of you. You want to live among them because they're the only ones who have built a social system that can preserve America in the state you want it to be, in the state where Jews like you are happy in it. But no, they cannot because they have this bigotry, ultimately. They are disgusted at the idea that the religious white Christians of America have reached their right-wing conclusions through Jesus and through their religious community. And the reason they're traditionalists and conservatives is ultimately something that's an ingredient of the Christian religion and the white race that they don't have, neither in their religion, neither in their race. So Tim Wise, learn to appreciate Jesus. Welcome Jesus in your heart, even if you don't believe in him. He is your savior in the sense that he is the only ingredients that can preserve a right-wing nation in which you'd want to live. Else you'll have to be continuing your traveling across the world, fleeing one violent nation to join another forever. That should be a clip. Shamrock Sheikh says they don't want to live around the people that want to live around them. Exactly. And if you can't tolerate a bunch of Jesus worshippers, which is the best things to live around ever, you're going to have to endure the criminality of the big city, the leftism, the big governments ruining the economy. Go ahead and go live it. Not my problem. Hunter Biden to plead not guilty to federal gun charges. Hunter was charged out of special counsel David Weiss probe. I think it's going to be relatively hard. We have video evidence of him on drugs, video evidence of him having guns. The crime is on tape. So the question is, will this be admissible in court? Will there be a violation of privacy claim? Maybe. Silver Spider says, is this a proof of Jesus that the only religion slash way of life that actually works is Christianity? No, unfortunately for the Christians, it is not. It's just that Jesus is a nice cultural ingredient. That's it. I noticed here a different behavior from a different society. How do the Japanese handle an aggressive man on the streets? It's fascinating. You're about to see collective behavior that I have not seen much in white civilization. And I'm not saying that's what we should do, because collective behavior has its own issues to it. But have a look, and then we'll see. So a man is becoming troublesome. He's attacking a guy who was just there filming the streets legally. And this guy takes issue with the fact that this guy has a camera. And if you're going to be triggered by cameras in 2023, you should stay home. Look at this. A collection of Japanese men forms around the troublesome individual. This guy is relaxed and tries to put himself in a position to minimize escalation and aggression. Now you have two guards that are handling the separation. And look at this, a collective of males assemble around the troublesome individual, limiting his movements while not committing assault and not imprisoning him, just trying to minimize the aggression and to be there in high numbers enough to do something if he goes too crazy. They are surrounding him. They are tightening against him. They are now isolating him into a direction where, oh, well, now you're fighting against a guy and you already have six or seven guys that are basically forming a front line in front of you, protecting the cameraman. Multiple policemen in the way so that the assault doesn't happen. He's attempting to detour around them. But their collective behavior is enough so that he doesn't quite reach the cameraman. Now he's trying to get a shot at it. They are still forming an obstacle to the man with the camera. Oh, What a nice society. Beautiful woman just standing there. It's like, is there a single Japanese woman that's not beautiful? I find it amazing that ultimately they have resolved the issue, protected the men, acted collectively, and used their numbers without much aggression to de-escalate the situation. Credit to the Japanese people. Of course, I guess that in Japan, it's not the same thing as in the U.S. In the U.S., this guy could have a gun. The other six black guys behind could have a gun. This guy could have a gun. This guy could have a gun. And so it's not the same. I don't know what's the gun policy in Japan, but I wouldn't be surprised that it's much rarer than the U.S. there. So they have a chance at intervening in a way that doesn't necessarily involve the same amount of risks. And they don't have to consider the same levels of risks to every situation. But interesting performance there. Speaker's Corner says, I didn't know you were a weebo, JF. I don't know what a weebo is. I don't watch these animes and stuff. I just watch Japanese women. People had a meme that was saying, right-wingers fading away. Apparently, this is a scene from James Bond. And James Bond just dies so that he can be replaced by a strong black woman. Right-wingers fading away in the bittersweet ecstasy of Russia, nuking our satanic empire to save humanity. So suggesting somehow that right-wingers will get what they deserve in supporting Russia, we will get a nuclear war. I don't know if they're aware of my position, but I would not fade away. I would be in ecstasy if I was to see a couple of properly directed surgical nuclear strikes only where needed. I don't think I would be fading away. I think I would be in a bittersweet ecstasy indeed. I know. So apparently that's the death of James Bond. And is that the beginning of the movie? And like the rest of the movie is, okay, the new James Bond is a black woman. You gotta accept it. I don't know. What is this clip? Is this coming from an actual movie? But in any case, I was saying people actually think that right-wingers live within cities that will be targeted by nuclear strikes. Right-wingers, true right-wingers and true traditionalists have spread out in places that wouldn't even be worth the nuclear strike. So personally, I'm not happy at all. I have learned to love the bomb. Zelensky claims that Russia may use nuclear threat during U.S. election.
Have suffered grievous losses without resorting to nuclear weapons. And I wonder if you believe that the threat of nuclear war is now behind us.
I think he's going to continue threatening. He's waiting for the United States to become less stable. He thinks that's going to happen during the U.S. election. He'll be looking for instability in Europe and the United States of America.
I honestly don't think this is going to happen. I would love it to happen. If we could have a little bit of destabilization, geopolitical destabilization during the election, I'm afraid it's not going to happen at all. And Putin has been a very tame leader overall. I don't expect him to seek to have an impact on the American election. I think he's just going to let the events happen as they do, whatever happens. What else did we have? John Fetterman had a special law just enacted for him, a law that allows politicians to dress dirtily because he was coming without suits at the, was it the Senate? Yeah, the Senate. And people started saying, well, there's a rule for suits. Well, now they have changed the rule. You can now dress like John Fetterman. His comment on the Fox News analysis of this new rule is, I figure if I take up vaping and grabbing the hug during a live musical, they'll make me a folk hero. I think that John Fetterman is not totally there, and people have been exchanging places where he appears to be cognitively in a very bizarre speech pattern.
My message to the CEOs is, you know, at $74 million, you know, collectively earning that, you know, how many yachts can they need, to ski behind it? You know, I mean, it's just crazy.
I believe that what he's talking about is there's basically luxury that the rich don't need anymore, such as water skiing. And they share 74 million of something among them, allowing them to buy yachts and do water skiing in a way that shouldn't be allowed.
My message to the CEOs is, you know, at $74 million, you know, collectively earning that, you know, how many yachts can they need, you know?
How many yachts can they need?
To water ski behind it, you know?
To water ski behind it. If I was to rephrase the whole thing as it probably emerged in his mind, it would be 74 million divided among them. How many yachts do they need to water ski behind? See, the words aren't so out there. I've just taken the words in the order that he said them, but it's all in the delivery. Let me just show you the contrast again between, I'm going to say the exact same word that he said, but with the intonations, and you're going to realize it's all about the stream of the words. He actually had selected the right words.
My message to the CEOs is, you know, at $74 million, you know, collectively earning.
My message to the CEOs is, at $74 million divided among yourselves.
That, you know, how many yachts can they need,
How many yachts can you possibly need to water ski behind, gentlemen? At $74 million divided among yourselves. See, the words are there. This is fascinating because cognitive deficits like this are illustrative of a specific brain area. And I don't know which brain area was hit in his case, but it's like it leaves a lot of the functions. A lot of the functions still exist, but there is one thing that's been taken out in his case, and it's the stream intonation and the link between intonation and meaning. But the words, they still come out, like a ChatGPT. ChatGPT can give you the words, but it probably doesn't have a sense of how they would flow and how they would flow in a human mouth. Now, it probably developed an indirect sense of that flow because it can do poetry and it can calculate syllables and their length and frame it for human speech, but it probably doesn't have an intuitive sense of it. And that's the state of John Fetterman's brain. The channel says, quick, grab JF's brain and use it for the good of cerebrally impaired people. I'm not offering myself for transplantation. I don't know where you could get this. Texas serial killer Billy Schimmermeer, I don't know who that is, who murdered dozens of elderly white women, was just killed in prison by his cellmate. Okay. I don't have much of a stance on this news. And finally, as a last news item, the DOJ is broadening the scope of its criminal investigation into Elon Musk. Tell me how this isn't a politically driven effort by the Biden administration to go after Musk, who is one of the administration's loudest and most influential critics. Elon Musk is probed by the DOJ over Tesla perks, including using company resources on secret home project that he received since 2017. This is one thing that sucks so much about the governmental and corporate world. It's like they have all these laws about, oh, well, you cannot use a company to do stuff that will advantage you. And the problem with this is that for an innovator like Elon Musk, you don't care about the red tape. When you're an innovator, it's like, leave that aside. And oh yeah, now Elon Musk wanted to have a glass house. Now, I'm sure there was some reason, some geek reason, why Elon Musk was fascinated about the idea of having a full house in glass. I'm sure that it wasn't Elon Musk trying to unjustly enrich himself. I'm sure there was some geeky science reason that he was excited about and he just wanted to play. And you have to leave space for play in the creative sector. And I find it so sad that basically Elon Musk adopts a political position for free speech in America and he gets punished by all this over-investigatory effort, basically, because they don't like the direction he took. Asferia says, JF, have you ever seen Thunderfoot's Elon Musk videos? I think he is right. Elon is a con artist. You should watch a few of those videos. I know the classical videos, for example, about Thunderfoot had made a video about the tube, the pressureless tube, where basically they would empty the whole tunnel of air so that you don't have air friction. And that was a very bad idea. And I would agree with the analysis of Thunderfoot there. It's absolutely ridiculous. Yes, the Hyperloop. It's absolutely ridiculous to spend so much energy pumping air and basically confining people into a tube in which they could die. Because now if your vehicle crashes, you are in a airless tube. It's like exploding in space. I agree that it's absolutely ridiculous. Because all of this is to save the friction of air. It's to save the aerodynamism aspect of it. And you might as well just invest that energy that you're using to pump the air out. You might as well use it just to push a little harder on your train. So I personally didn't think it made sense. And it was way too dangerous and ridiculous to maintain a vacuum for the purpose of transport like this. Now, that doesn't mean that Elon Musk is a scam artist in everything. He fell for the bridge project, basically, you know. Just like in the Simpson episode where some guy comes and I want to sell you what was he selling? A train on rails that would go above the city. Okay, that is crappy and scammy. But when you count the realizations of Elon Musk, Elon Musk has done PayPal. Elon Musk has done Tesla. Elon Musk has done, a monorail. The classical case of the monorail. I can't believe that Elon Musk made this meme a reality. What is the difference between the Hyperloop and the monorail? But when you count the actual realization that Elon stands by, and it's okay for an innovator to be wrong 80% of the time, 90% of the time, I don't care. I want to create the space of liberty, the permission to be wrong. Because ultimately, all that matters is when they're right. And when Elon is right, he makes PayPal. When Elon is right, and not the PayPal of today, the PayPal of back then, which was money of the internet, basically. The first Bitcoin, in a way, in some way. When Elon is right, he makes Tesla. When Elon is right, he does send rockets to the space. And when Elon is right, he brings back freedom of speech on the internet. To me, that's enough. He's done enough to be one of the great men of civilization. Okay, the Hyperloop, forget about it.
Thank you.